You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
As my friend Matt Shirt would say, ooh, ah.
The ooh, ah, man.
Game week. That's why he's wearing
it. Is.
It is game week. Yeah. We're playing against New Mexico on Saturday night. Game start is 10:30 in the evening.
That is not true. So. On the East Coast, maybe. 7:30 kickoff.
We're playing against New Mexico, who lost by 13 to NAU rival Montana State on this last Saturday.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So the pressure's on us to not screw this one up.
Well,
so,
you know,
we'll be fine. We'll
not
be
the
fine.
Same team as 3 years ago, so let's, or 4 years ago, whenever the dreaded Sumlin era was.
Is he tweeting
were
again?
You at the game that the Jacks beat the Cats? Were you, is that the one you were at?
I was not there. I was not.
Because that we met up one game that season, but I think it was later that season.
We met at the that Friday night Washington game, I know that.
Was it a Friday night game? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, DeSimone wasn't going to go to a Saturday game and the off day.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Right.
So, you know, on Friday, three, sir, went with Patty and Marquise over to this press event with Flores Concepts about game experience. Now, let me give you a couple of things here. The food stuff that they're doing on the Flores side was very good. And definitely, I'm going to tell you something. I know Cantoni was crying about it, but the horchata whipped cream with the hot churros in it kind of thing, kind of a winner. So that part was just fine. The Gatto's hot sauce is good too. Ray Jr., they're now selling these little bottles of hot sauce that have, it's called the Dos Gatos or just Gatos.
Okay.
And it's like a Tapatio with a little bit of sweet to it.
Oh,
and that was Ray's Ray Jr.'s description to me, and I think that was dead on. It was actually pretty good. So got to see Gary and Ami and the crew, so that was awesome. And then it was my first time meeting Bouya Bay, and she seems fine.
Desiree Reed Francois,
that one, and
the athletic director.
That's right. Now the one thing that I will tell you that we have to watch how they do it, because I like what she said was. They said, and again, I heard this from Hickey, so let's see if Desiree can do better, was about fan experience. Like, really, like, they're supposedly reading your surveys, and then they want you to fill out surveys before and after games, and they're going to be reading surveys every game Monday after game day. That's what they're saying. Yes, I know some of you are doing aerobics right now. But I'm just telling you what, don't shoot the messenger, as they say. So
correct.
I love the idea. Now, we have a guy here, Greg Gehringer, very talented young man.
Yes.
Okay. Who is not only has one of the best voices in America, right? He also has done PA of sporting events, and he's a DJ.
Yeah.
And we had to hire the guy who.
FC Tucson, by the way.
Are they still in business? I think so.
The answer is yes.
Okay, well, congratulations. But I will tell you that we had to hire and bring a guy down from the Phoenix Cardinals to be our in-game DJ guy.
Is this the play-by-play announcer, or is this the DJ that they were talking about?
The DJ for game day.
Because when I think about...
We had to bring him down from Phoenix.
When I think about football, I think about... I think about music and DJs.
So
we have this whole group of college students that are, they play musical instruments.
So
and
I did,
they practice
I did,
all day in the heat.
I did see the Sun Corridor announcement that a one job was created by hiring a guy from Phoenix
well,
to be our DJ.
Go.
So
there you go.
Good going, Snell Squatch. You've done it again. Oh, Magoo. You've done it again.
Oh,
so anyway, we'll see if they're as responsive as they thought they say they're going to be. She said that bringing the cat cruiser back from...
I didn't understand that. I saw the article. It sounds more like a carpool.
So Chris, as you know, has worked with the bus people, good bus people in the past at Gray Line. And they used to do the Cat Cruiser.
Yeah. Our friends used to ride it every week.
So what's interesting is, as you're talking to us at this press conference about, here's the fan experience. And one of the things we knew now, and she also talked at one point about controlling costs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's U of A? They're going to control costs?
I fell right into my fried elote bites when she said that.
How were those? That did sound kind of good.
The food was great.
The food
was great. The hot dog, the Sonoran hot dog thing, was a premium dog.
All right.
Well done. There's one other thing I'm missing here. And then they do like a tamale bowl now with two of Carlotta's tamales kind of thing.
Dang.
So that was a winner. The food side, it's good. It's really good what they presented. And then we had the administrative side, right? And so when she says, one of the things, and one side of her mouth, she said, we got to control costs. But then she says, one of the things that we had to bring back was the Cat Cruiser, which is, so trust me, I know how the math works on this. So she said, we're going to charge them $25 round trip to come down from Phoenix. We're going to take Phoenix fans.
Yeah.
To go to the games.
They used to have two motor coaches.
But here's
the
thing.
It was one.
It's the idea that it's a token gesture, right? Because in the end, trust me, the most you can get in a bus is 54 to 56. All right? So you're talking no more than 110 people by the time you put a couple of coolers for water and beer and things like that, right?
It's 110 butts in the seats down here. I mean, it's a good thing.
I'm just saying, if you're trying to fill a 50,000-foot stadium, the 100 is a gaseous emission into the wind, is what I'm saying. So anyway, let's see how it goes. I asked her any Radiohead during halftime. They can neither confirm nor deny that. So Ed Alexander is in a wait and see, as we like to say.
All right.
Matt, did you do anything fun this weekend?
Went to the drives. 5th birthday party at Desert Diamond Casino on Friday.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, they had Little River Band did a concert, and it was fun.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Did they do Reminiscing?
They did.
Is that the encore?
Let me see. Maybe. Lonesome Loser, I think, was the encore.
That was the other one I was thinking of, Lonesome Loser. All right, nice. Very cool. Very nice.
The other guy, Hang On, Help Is On Its Way. Lady, later. Clear Change or Cool Change. It was a good show, man. Good show.
Is that a climate? Is Cool Change, is that a climate song?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Let's get to the old rundown. Hi, and welcome to the rundown. We got the RFK effect. And also his reaction to his family eviscerating him.
Mm.
We'll get to that. We have a little bit of Jon Stewart talking about just a little hypocrisy over at the DNC, which is kind of stuff we've talked about, but it was good to see Jon kind of mentioning it. A good question is, who's controlling the situation in the Middle East? Because we know Sleepy Joe is on vacation. And Kamala's doing a campaign bus tour. So is Anthony Blinken the real president of the United States right now? I just like to know. Just a little bit. Kamala has endorsed the Joe.
Is he one of the cabinet folks that did not disappear for weeks or months at a time? Because I know Buttigieg did and
we know
Lloyd Austin did.
Yeah, the Secretary of Defense disappeared for a while.
As the Middle East was blowing up. It's like,
So what? Austin
Buttigieg, during the supply chain crisis, he disappears for 2 months.
Well, him and his boyfriend bought a baby. Adopted a baby. Let's see. We got to get to... Schlichter, what's happening in the Ukraine war should scare the hell out of us. The Nebraska Chamber of Commerce, who knew I was going to say this? This goes out to Bill and Betsy. Peace. Nebraska Chamber of Commerce has to smack down Tim Walz. That guy Walz, I'm just going to tell you something.
Pinocchio?
He is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
They couldn't pick a goofier dumbass than that guy. It's the best. Atlantic writer breaks ties with Kamala Harris after exposing Democrat lies in a piece that she did called Democrat COVID Amnesia. This is in the Atlantic.
Wow.
Yep. Newsom, governor of Crapifornia. I feel like I'm saying Crapifornia. That sounds like a Rushism he would come up with. You Libra losers. Gavin Newsom was told to call the Harris nomination without a primary inclusive. He actually laughs about it on a podcast, which I thought was just magical. Bill Maher points out, he calls our boy Scott Jennings on CNN Lonely Scott because he's always by himself and he's the only one making salient points, which I thought was hilarious. Now, I want to also talk about the nut job that threatened to assassinate Trump. And then, Matt, you got to tell me, have you seen any local news stories about the guy who threatened to assassinate Trump, who's from Arizona?
Well, I loved the initial thing. Okay, they said he's wanted on several warrants.
Yes.
And he's accused of making threats against a presidential candidate. In the initial reports, they clearly said they did not specify which candidate it was. But of course, this guy is in Cochise County. And of course, Donald Trump had an impending visit to Cochise County, which I found amusing. I mean, it's obvious, you know, who the threats were against, right?
So to me, again, unless you guys...
Later on, it did, some of the later, after they caught him, I think they did say that it was threats against Trump.
It sure looked like a little bit of a I don't want to say cover up. That's too strong.
It did. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
All right, cover up. We're going with cover up. TPD identifies homicide suspect. Yeah, I was talking to a couple of my cop friends over the weekend. I'm telling you something. The idea that you could drop almost 200 shells in that gun battle and they captured no one yet is wild. Wild.
Still nobody?
Open season.
Still nobody. Okay. So 8 days ago?
8 days ago.
Okay.
I had to whip out the Yogi Berra. It's like deja vu.
Is it the police
vu?
Were right next, adjacent to where all that happened.
Hey, if I'm the one cop on the entire shift, and I hear that there's it sounds like a total super terrific cartel drug battle going on in the supermarket, I'd be like, I'm sorry, this 1998 Crown Vic I'm driving, I can't turn over the engine. The famous Huckleberry Loop is under attack, and so we're now going to spend more of your dollars to secure it.
Oh.
So we got that going for us.
Okay.
At about 6:35, I'm going to take Raheena Romero's op-ed about she needs more of your money.
Yes.
And I'm going to take out the driver and hit the ball right down the middle.
Okay.
It's going to be about a 380-yard drive right down the middle by DeSimone because I did this crazy thing this morning.
Another 40 yards on the bounce.
This is what I do for you, our wonderful listeners. Right, is I am literally going through city budgets at 3:45 this morning. It's what I do for you.
It's okay.
So we're going to run through that. It's just wow. And yes, we'll get to the biggest, most diverse class of the University of Arizona, 9,300 freshmen.
Mm.
And there's a statistic missing that I'd like to just see if someone can answer it for me.
How many will be there at the end?
Nope.
Nope.
I'd like to know what's the total amount of student debt they're going to get into.
That's a very prescient statistic.
I'm going to do some basic math on the air and give you a number, and then you'll puke up your cereal into your Wake Up Tucson soup bowls. So 6:20 in the morning, it's National Dog Day. I had to come up with this, not Laura. You figured Laura would have come up. I scooped her on National Dog Day. This song will be played 12 times on a Saturday at the U of A game. Get you pumped up. Part of the new fan experience. Here we go. National Dog Day. The sad part is, again, I put that, I didn't even know it was National Dog Day till yesterday, right? And I put that quote on you know, dogs are just amazing. Their only fault is they don't live long enough, right? And I love that line. And the sad part is when you go through some of these songs, if you listen to them to the end, you'll start crying. Because sooner or later, you got to let go. And that unrequited love and enthusiasm is, lost. You'll start crying. I'm just telling you that. Remember, we're doing a week from Wednesday, September 4th, the family of Paul Marsh. We're going to do a 12 noon remembrance of Paul's life at the Marana Cemetery, Veteran Cemetery that he put together. He was the founder and the driving force. And town of Marana, the Kai family donated the dirt and made it happen. So that's going on September 4th. And then September 7th, me and Asta van de Haden will be explaining the myriad of ballad propositions to you at the Northwest Republicans Association, 8:30 start. You have to RSVP at info@northwestrepublicans.com. The other person I wanted to get to today is Helen Glass, who I think had been on the show once before. She was a World War II veteran. She passed away at 101 years old on Wednesday. She was a Navy veteran and volunteered more than 5,000 hours at the Tucson VA Medical Hospital. Born in New Hampshire, that's this real state, TUSD grads, and raised in New Jersey. She moved to Arizona 76, joined the Waves in 1943 on her 20th birthday. I love this about Helen Glass. You know what she did in the during World War II?
What's that?
Aircraft mechanic.
All right.
Until her discharge in 45, past president of the Navy Women Veteran Waves National Organization. A celebration of her life was held for her on August 24th. And so, anyway, rest in peace, Helen, and thanks for your amazing service. Let's see. We got 2 minutes here. Let me do my Yogi Berra. Then we're going to get to what's her face, the mayor of Tucson, before we get to Dr. DeFilippo at the top of the hour. So, as you guys are watching your television and your YouTube ads and things like this, we're getting the deja vu all over again as 2 years ago, Katie Hobbs v. Carrie Lake, right? We have the month of August where Katie Hobbs teed off on Carrie Lake and got to define her as a candidate for at least the first 30 to 45 days with very little hit back. I've seen one. It's a little better. I would have told you last August, Carrie had nothing in the media where I saw one ad that was a hit back so far. But she's getting defined by Ruben Gallego and the Democrats. And I know, Carrie, you love speaking at the Trump store because at the same time you keep going to your echo chambers. I get it. But when you're there, your campaign team should notice there's a Confederate flag in the back that you're talking and say, hey, Trump guy, could you pull that down for this event at least? Because what happens is they've tied that visual with she's been endorsed by white supremacists. Right. So again, junior acting campaign team, sad to say. And she is a drag on the Trump vote. She's a drag on everyone's vote. That's going to be the real problem here. So then she drags her feet to say she's finally going to debate after she dodged Mark Lamb. Because Mark Lamb did that one online on her and just destroyed her in that online one. So then she drags her feet after, and so because remember Katie Hobbs wouldn't debate her, but this is your chance, Carrie, not to look like a psycho. Let's go do it. Go act like an adult. Let's see if you can do it. If not, you're going to head towards a two-time loser here. And then what will happen is what we notice with losers, they run to be chairs of committees, right? So we had Kelly Ward. Lost, she became a loser. I got Wynn is now running for the Pima GOP slate chair, even though she doesn't seem like she wants to help anyone who's... She wants to promote herself running, but not anyone running here. All right, it's National Dog Day. Little Tom T. Hall there on the bump list. Got Doug the dog from Up is our symbol on our graphic on our National Dog Day. One of the best animated dogs ever. Golden Retriever. Hey there. Let's get to something that's, after we talked about dogs and Doug the dog, let's go to something that's much worse to talk about, which is the mayor of Tucson. Now, she does this op-ed because now she's crying about the money. I know you guys are in shock. She's crying about the money.
$25 million Publishers Clearinghouse check. Still not enough.
I did like the Babylon Bee was on fire this weekend. I did like the, oh no, man at DNC thinking he was in line for food truck accidentally gets vasectomy.
It's true.
And then Oprah at DNC, everyone under their seat gets an illegal immigrant.
That's also true. You get an illegal immigrant.
So what
you get an L pass and you get an L pass and you get an L pass. Everybody gets an L pass.
This article about she wants more of your money and she's crying that she doesn't have enough of your money. And let's see. You know, what happened was I had it open on my screen. What did I do with it? And then, oh, here it is. Oh, no, I can't do that. And all of a sudden, I had it where it wasn't behind the paywall, but now all of a sudden it's behind the paywall on me. So I'm going to have to, let me just give it to you this. She's complaining that she passed a $2.3 billion budget and she doesn't have enough money. And there's you're going to love this. There's a $27 million shortfall according to her. Okay?
Correct. Decimal dust, some may say.
Mayor and council must plan ahead of $27 million drop in state shared revenue.
It's always the state, Chris.
It's
always, until they get the majority, then it won't be the state.
You are correct. Remember, before that, everything was Doug Ducey's fault, but the mismanagement of things by Katie Hobbs are weirdly overlooked.
Redirect to the legislature. Yes.
So, so she's at $2.3 million. Okay. Now, here's the, I did a little research this morning of where we're at budget wise.
Just investigative journalism.
This is, and Tim was right. It was amazingly expensive and time consuming, Tim. It took me 7 minutes, and it cost me zero. So remember, so in this article, she is whining about they just passed a $2.3 billion budget. Okay? Here we go. 18-19 budget was $1.5 billion. 19-20 budget was $1.5 billion. 2021 was $1.729 billion. 2022 was $1.9 billion. 22-23 was $2.067 billion. And last year's budget, before they passed this one, was $2.3 billion. So now, the county, which has a less stable amount, has a more stable tax source being property taxes. Now they're running out of Fed money themselves. So and that's how this budget got so big, was mostly because of that Fed money that was blowing through the ill-named Inflation Reduction Act. Okay.
Very ill-named.
Speaking of more hashtag super gaslighting. But what happened was that... So the county at least went back down to $1.7 billion off of their over $2 billion because they're starting to run out of the money. The city went up another 100 mil. I mean, $2.3 billion. It's the high... Check this out. This is... Okay. Okay, we know the media sucks, most of them. Okay? Here's the thing. I mean, the idea that the media thought that the Inflation Reduction Act was going to reduce inflation is unbelievable. All right? But let's stay local. Who's going to call her out on this? She's complaining that she doesn't have enough money because of state shared revenue and the state budget issues. Her budget is higher than it was ever. So let's do this. Math on the air. Which I love doing math on the air. I know you guys love doing it with me, right? But you're really talking about, this is not even that hard, $1.5 billion. I'm not even going to need my calculator on this one. Right? So you're talking, it went just right before the corona shenanigans, we're at $1.5 billion, the city of Tucson, and they're at 2.3. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a 50% increase in budget. 5-0, like Molly Shannon. I'm 50. I kick, I strut, and I kick again. 5-0. So this is where the lapdogs in the media, either you're in on it or you're ignorant, right? But this is where a Chris Lamberis kind of guy would go, you're complaining about money, thank you. You're complaining about money, but you had a 50% increase in your budget. Now, we know that inflation is real. It is a monetary policy problem that has been lit on fire by the federal government.
Who she tweets about every day.
She tweets about them all the time. Now, we know that if you're not making an extra 20 to 30% in your budget, in your revenue, in your family, you're not keeping up with the cost of things, right? So think this out. You all took a 25 to 30% pay cut, and the city of Tucson got a 50% pay raise, a revenue raise in the same thing, and she's whining and crying about, I have no money.
And they all had zero risk of losing their jobs during COVID. Let's put that up.
Not only did they risk not losing their jobs.
Zero risk.
Remember, they voted themselves in because of you idiot voters gave them a pay raise. So now a fool like Paul Cunningham is going to make $96,000 a year.
By next year, his salary will be quadrupled. The council member salaries will be quadrupled.
Correct. So you take,
next year it'll be 100, I think. 100.
You take 30% pay cut. The city itself got a 50% bump in revenue, and the fools on the city council got quadrupled. Their pay.
So they're keeping up with inflation.
They're way keeping up with inflation.
So here's another thing.
Yes.
So the budget has grown, and you said that last year's budget was 2.2. Billion.
Yes.
Right? Well, the last time I saw, their forecast was to spend $2.0 billion, which means she's getting a 15% budget increase over what they spent in the last fiscal year. Do you understand that? And they wanted a 20% increase. Their original positions was they wanted $2.4 billion. Okay? Like, oh, well, look at us. We cut $100 million off of the budget.
Right.
But it's still 15% more than they spent in 2022 or 23. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, here's the best
15% part. 15% increase year over year. That's nuts.
Now, she's whining and crying about Now, I just want to let you guys, she's like, why is she doing this? What you're, why, Spock, why, right? She's setting you up for a sales tax.
Of course.
Okay. Now, I did the math. She's crying about $27 million out of a $2.3 billion budget. This is how she is manipulating the hell out of all of you. Are you ready? I divided $27 million by $2.3 billion just to see what kind of a variance are we talking about here that they're off. It's 1.1% of her budget, and she's crying like she's got no money. Let's do this. Let's go to break.
And the more spend, the lower the quality of life gets here. It's amazing, the correlation.
Let's get to that point, because that's an amazing point by ESQ. 790-2040 is the phone number. Dr. DeFilippo coming up at the top of the hour. It's International Dogs Day, and we're doing Dogs by Pink Floyd right now. You're on Wake Up Tucson. That was the first thing that Gentry asked me today about Dogless. He goes, you guys doing Floyd Dogs? I'm like, it's there. Relax. We're good. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. National Dog Day. Dog Day. Does your dog bite? All right. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Now, Rahina's hero would be Kamala Harris, right? And Kamala's whole career has been based on gas.
Well, her hero was Joe Biden until 15 minutes ago.
That's true.
When he was insignificant to her.
But she has been an amazingly Kool-Aid drinking fan of the gaslighting going on. So she's like, why not gaslight just some more here? It's not like anyone in the press is going to double check my work. Right? She's going to go on some interview shows where no one asks her a follow-up question. No one allows a phone in. She never gets any tough questions in this town, sad to say. Even though she keeps telling me she's in the past that she wants to come on Wake Up Tucson, she never comes on Wake Up Tucson. Hey, Rahina, I wouldn't do it either. You'd look like a fool. You'd be especially if you didn't have your three assistants with your pieces of paper to hand you how to read answers. Okay? So she writes this thing. She's setting you up for a sales tax vote is what she's doing. So if you just missed the Wake Up Tucson previous segment, Romero's writing she's $27 million short on a budget that's $2.3 billion, the largest they've ever had in the history of the whole city.
Progress, baby.
Right? Now, as Matt said right before break, the more money they spent, the more miserable it gets around here. Right, we have no money for cops, and we're at our biggest budget ever.
Driving around 14-year-old cars. It was a 2007, not Crown Vic. Well, maybe it was.
This is the officer that got killed because the dude blew the red light and hit him. Right, because he was in too old of a car. If he had a side airbag, he'd probably be alive right now. But Rahina has him driving around in a 20-year-old vehicle, 17-year-old vehicle. In one of the most violent cities in Arizona. Actually, the most violent city in Arizona is Tucson. That's where you're at. Okay? We got gun battles, and her and Rex Scott going, oh, we need more gun laws. No. So the parks look like hell, the roads look like hell, and there's no cops, and they're at their biggest budget ever. And I just want to tell them something, back to that nasty charter they like to hide behind. The charter they hide behind is the one that tells them they have to have priorities like parks, roads, and cops. So look, this is the front line. This is, she comes, budget, we adopted a $2.3 billion budget, highest ever. It's a 50% increase since pandemic mania. You've all taken at least a 25% pay cut. They've done, and all of them got a pay raise. By the time they get to January, idiots like Cunningham and Dahl will be making $96,000. Where the per capita income in Tucson is 24. My colleagues have adopted a $2.3 billion budget, making key investments in affordable housing. That's the first one out the bat. Public safety, haven't seen it. Climate resiliency and road improvements. But of course, declining state
road improvements?
What?
Road improvements.
That's what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
directly caused by the action of a Republican-led legislature because of the declining state revenues, because of the passage of the 2.5%.
It's the Republicans' fault.
For not hitting you for enough taxes.
Got it.
Which is fine. If she wants to pound everyone in Tucson for more taxes, you're the suckers who voted for her. Enjoy getting whipped by your dominatrix that you put on the credit card. Can I have another whip in my face, mistress? Because that's what this is the relationship between the voter and Raina Romero. She is your municipal dominatrix, my friends. She just keeps whipping your rear ends. And you're like, can I have another, please? Here's a lie. Are you ready for a lie? Let's go right to the lie. Here's 8 Pinocchios. As a mayor, I'm committed to ensuring that the Tucson city budget and operations reflect the pressing needs of our region. What? Let's bring in Raina Romero's favorite former elected official.
Listen, you're fake news.
Together, we can find solutions that will allow us to protect the vital. So when she says together, that means you're going to pay more money. That's what she means.
You. Together meaning you.
Right. Remember, she's making $125,000 soon as the mayor. Ruben's got to be making 100 G's running the Grijalva operation, right? And if she's still working, possibly making another 80 to 100 G's at the Center for Biological Diversity, that would get their total. The lady who says you're going to work together on you paying more taxes has a household income of at least a half a Snell at $250,000. So she doesn't care about an extra tax.
How many $1 million is Rio Nuevo taking from the what could be the state shared revenue coming back to the city?
I don't know.
This
is not a money problem. They're at their highest level ever.
Correct.
Remember, she's crying about $27 million. It's a 1.17% cut. She can't find what her and Timmy Tommy, the new city manager guy, they can't find 1.1% on the budget, so she has to use this as an excuse to crap on Republicans and have you vote for another sales tax. But what are we doing? You're not getting... So remember, she's complaining there's that people in the state of Arizona aren't being taxed enough, and she can't find 1.17% in her budget. After her and her knuckleheads went from 1.5 million to 2.3. Look, not that I want to give the county that much credit, but even Jan saw the writing on the wall and said, well, we don't have all that federal money. We got to go back to 1.7 bill, which is still bigger than their 1.2 bill from 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago. But at least they went down. These people went up. Oh, the other thing I forgot in this rant, there's so much to go. We're still paying for a crime bus.
They found the money for that, didn't they, Chris?
I mean, come on. We can't even charge a buck on the crime bus. She's still trying to do her terrorist activities on Pima and the U of A. Give us $10 million. Give us $10 million. Give us $10 million. It's so necessary for your. All of your students that get on the free tram to go get drunk at playground. I mean, to me, that's the number one use of the streetcar is for the students to go get drunk at Hi-Fi and playground, which is great for keeping our DUI stats down in that corridor. I agree, but I mean, it's a drunk train, is what it is. So Raina Romero. You're typically disgusting in your gaslighting. But the best part is the Ninsels, Dylan Smiths, Tim Steller, and all those, they won't say a damn word. They'll just jump on, oh, those bad Republicans. You know, City of Tucson voters, I got no pity for you now. Because you know what it is? You're going to vote for it, just like you did their ridiculous raises. So, And then watch. Let's see what SALC and the chamber people do. Because I'm going to tell you something. They're either going to have no, they'll say nothing or jump on it. I'm just telling you. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.